Welcome back to the Pet Cash Pod presented by ProFluence Sports. I'm your host, Andrew Pet Cash. As always, I appreciate you tuning into these conversations that we have with the founders, executives, investors, and athletes at the intersection of sports and business. If you enjoy them, leave this a five-star. Make sure to follow so you never miss another one. We had a great conversation today with the CEO of Perfect Game, Rob Ponger. Rob spent much of his early career at IMG before jumping to Perfect Game, which is the world's largest youth baseball and softball platform. They have over 8,000 events every year, 300,000 plus games. Nearly 2,000 players have come through their ecosystem to then go on to Major League Baseball, the MLB. So awesome conversation. Talk about downstream of sports, where baseball is going, where sports is going, how they're growing and building and managing their whole tech stack between the actual events and facilities and their technology. Without further ado, let's dive in. Rob, appreciate you hopping on today. U Sports, obviously a huge interest for me. We've had a few other companies in that area. Nothing really in the baseball and softball space. You guys are the leaders, always trying to bring those conversations here. So appreciate you hopping on today and look forward to this one.
Yeah, no, Andrew, listen, great to be on this, and obviously been watching what you're doing, so really appreciate you having me on. Should be a fun time.
Yeah, and just setting the stage, you spent a lot of your career at IMG. You've done things in sports for a long time. 2022, you take on this opportunity as a CEO at Perfect Game. What excited you about it, and what have you seen over the last, you know, really, it's probably what, approaching 2 years now of running the ship here?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, again, growing up, you know, loved baseball. So obviously too old to have ever played in Perfect Game, of course. But obviously also 20 years in IMG, I've been to India for cricket, and Ireland for the Ryder Cup, America's Cup in New Zealand. So I've been all over the world. Is fortunate enough to have IMG was fortunate enough to represent every major property on the face of the earth and have people in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame like Barry Frank and Sean McManus and others, Mark McCormick, you know, guide me at some point over my history. So when I came on to Perfect Game, definitely excited about youth sports and the direction that it's going, excited about baseball. And I look at it as it was a great company that I came on board here, had a great history. And what we were looking to do is to take this elite brand, because I saw PG as a brand. I think other people saw it as, well, it's a great event company, it's a great scouting service. But I'm like, this is a brand to me that should be on par with Nike and Adidas and Under Armour and Rawlings, which were all fantastic brands on their own. But here I am, PG is known as the elite brand. There's nobody in the youth baseball space that comes near us on that. So to be able to positively impact youth, to help direct baseball, and to help create the vision and strategy of where Perfect Game goes next, like I said, it's more than an event company at this point, right? We see ourselves as a brand, and we'll touch on it. I'm now a media company. I'm now an apparel company. I'm now a product company. I'm now a technology company. And within PG as well, having gotten to know people here, what a great group of people that come in to Perfect Game every single day, right? This isn't a 9-to-5 job. You're working the weekends. You're on the field at 7 in the morning. You don't get up till 9 o'clock at night. Like, you know, and you're pushing the game of baseball forward for these kids. And I think we provide a great platform, a great brand. And we want a great business event, and the parents and the kids both benefit from it.
Yeah. And how do you think about the different segments of the business and intertwining them? Because there's no one way to do it, and think of the chicken and the egg scenario even, but Nike maybe started in apparel, but now they have courts and they do certain things, and how you're approaching it like a brand. You started more on the event side. How do you think about adding properties or combining them all to create this flywheel effect?
Yeah, no, so the flywheel, again, I always look at it, and the hub of that flywheel is always going to be the events, the showcases, the tournaments, and the scouting. Nobody does it better than Perfect Game, right? But I'm like, okay, well, we need to be more than an event company, a showcase company. When we came into Perfect Game, nobody thought of it, like I said, as a brand. Nobody thought of it as a media company. So I looked at PG, and I tell this story. In the first meeting I was at Perfect Game 5 years ago, everybody came in wearing a shirt like this, but it had the Nike swoosh over here. And I said, well, that's the last time anybody's wearing a Nike swoosh anymore, because the Perfect Game brand will stand on its own two feet. And so you know, Nike and PG separated. Nike was great to us as that as a time, but PG outgrew it. And like, let's stand on our own 2 feet. And here we are 5 years ago, maybe had a couple $100,000 in sales that are now in the tens of millions in 250 Dick's Sporting Goods stores, where, you know, our e-commerce partner is Dick's as well. And if you walk around to a Major League Baseball stadium or a PG event, you'll see a PG hat, you'll see a PG shirt, you see it all over the place. So that's one of the biggest elements of the flywheel. But then that leads to, we weren't doing media 4 years ago. Sure, we were sending out the tweet that this kid threw 95 miles per hour, which on a B2B basis, we need every swing, we need every pitch. But now I have PG.TV. I have millions of people watching on PG.TV right now. I'm on Roku, I'm on Fubo, I'm on Amazon Freecast. I'm on all these fast channels now. I think Roku last month alone, we had 1 million video downloads. Our social media is in the millions. Our impressions is in the 600 millions at this point, right? So we become a media and social media giant. Obviously, it's time to monetize that. And it's time for, you know, where do you go next? It's time for the Gillettes and the Chase Banks of the world and the Allstates to start saying, hey, wait, Perfect Game sitting in the middle of the ecosystem where Gen Z and the Gen Alpha kids are. Who do you want to put a razor in a 15-year-old boy's hands that he might use for the rest of his life? Do you want to sign a kid up to a Chase bank account for $25? You might have a customer for 60 years. So we're sitting on all that. The media can explode. The apparel's exploding. In terms of apparel, you know, we've taken a different approach. Like, you know, and I'm not ripping on the vitamin waters or the Gatorades or anybody, but we look at it as more access to this Perfect Game platform is worth way more than that. So whether that's fees, whether it's equity in them, like we're launching drinks like Launch Hydrate now, which is out there helping with that at the beginning. We just did a deal with a bat company, sold the Soldier Tank Bat, which I think a year from now might be the number one seller on the marketplace. But sitting here with 1.5 million plus kids, we are an immediate access to, you want to create a new cleat, you want to create a sneaker, you want to create a batting glove, PG is your entry point in. And I'll say the part of that too is it goes to technology. There's companies about Yakker Tech, there's Trackmans, there's Rapsodos, and they all have deals with Major League Baseball. But I'm sitting here with 1.5 million kids, probably 2 million in 2024. And every single parent and every single kid is a potential customer over there. And then I could keep going on. There's a whole international side of the business. The PG brand will be in Japan this year. We are in Barcelona. We are in the Czech Republic. We are in the Dominican. We are in like Panama. We've been all over the place, and that will continue to grow as the brand continues to grow. So again, I love that term. I love the flywheel because this is such an interesting company, and coming from my background at IMG, we check the box on every single category out there, and we're continuing to grow regionally. I'm in conversations with counties in California, Illinois, Indiana, North Carolina about building facilities because Perfect Game's economic impact is in the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars that we generate to a county, whether it's Lee County in Florida. I think they told me our economic impact was $69 million there. So when the hotels are empty, we come in, we fill up the hotels, we fill up the restaurants, we use car rentals. So our economic impact, I think we used 600,000 hotel rooms in 2023. So people are starting to see the brand and how PG can kind of economically push things forward in counties, with brands, with sponsors, with media. So it's very exciting where we're sitting at in the ecosystem right now.
Yeah, and you talk about the downstream, view sports as a triangle, right? At the top, you have the pro sports, which maybe there's the most money in, but there's the least amount of athletes and people and resources. And then when you go downstream where you guys live more at the bottom of the funnel, there's the most athletes. How are you seeing this downstream professionalization come in? How is the MLB approaching something like a Perfect Game? How is everything trying to be pushed down? Because like you said, there's a huge economic impact.
Yeah, and there's no doubt the professionalism comes. Youth sports, you know, having worked at IMG and dealing with so many professional organizations, whether that's PGA, rugby, Indian cricket, NFL, MLB, we dealt with all of those. And then while I was there, we aggregated the college space, which is amateur sports. And, you know, the business was sold to, you know, the guys at TKO that own WWE and UFC now, and have obviously taken it to other levels. But that youth sports below college was like the last horizon. It was kind of a fragmented conundrum, right? It was all over the place. So I mean, we looked at that as an opportunity to, it is somewhat professionalized, the youth space, right? But also to bring a better product to the field, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we are helping the kids and the parents, right? The more exposure these kids get, the more exposure the parents see the kids getting. You know, the colleges are recruiting off of what Perfect Game does. These kids are now going into college and they're already social media influencers because Perfect Games help make them stars to some degree, right? And we're not getting paid for that, right? They play in our tournaments, but we promote the kids as well. And what parent doesn't want to see highlights of their own kid? So when they go to a Vanderbilt or a Texas or whatever to play baseball, like nowadays with NIL money coming in, these kids are getting money. The parents are getting support to help pay for the college, you know, career that they're embarking on. Right now, obviously, the dream is, hey, everybody wants to be a Major League Baseball player, right? But those rosters are 26-man rosters that are active and 40-man rosters, right? Not everybody makes it. So there's always more kids going in college. If you can go play D3 or D1 and you never make it to the majors, the parents and the kids are still very happy. Not that many kids can say that. So I love to say we're helping like kind of the recruitment process. We're helping kids make NIL money. We're helping them become social media influencers. So PG's become this media hub and platform for all of that. And the kids know it. The kids want to be on PG. And then look at cable TV today. You know, the ESPNs, the Bally's, right? They're not covering 14, 15, 16-year-old high school ball. They're not covering 10 to 12-year-old ball anymore. The only place to watch that is Perfect Game, right? And so, you know, we look at it as is. We're an ecosystem. We hope every one of these kids makes it to the major leagues and makes million-dollar contracts. And that's the dream for all of us, ultimately.
Just stat-wise, it's something crazy. What, over 2,000 MLB players that at one point played a Perfect Game or something like that? What are some of those stats looking like these days? Because, I mean, it's pretty incredible.
Oh, it's incredible. And I'm probably looking at some old information here, but it is close to 2,000 players. It's close to 14,000 players drafted. I think we have 340 MLB All-Stars, Cy Young winners, MVP winners. I mean, everybody from Bryce Harper, Christian Yelich, Francisco Lindor, Mike Trout, Freddie Freeman, Gerrit Cole. I mean, you can go up and down the roster of any Major League Baseball team, and they're Perfect Game alumni. And a lot of them still come back. You know, it's so funny how many current MLB players, ex-MLB players, and we have guys – Ryan Klesko, Flash Gordon, Trevor Hoffman, you know, Luis Gonzalez. There's so many people that still show up to Perfect Game events that are part of the Perfect Game team. Guys like Mo Vaughn who give back with the Vaughn Sports Academy and what they're doing for underprivileged kids and what PG helps them do. We're putting a spotlight on the Vaughn Sports Academy as they do underprivileged combines all over the place. We're doing stuff with Beyond Sport in Little Rock, Arkansas to give kids access to this great game of baseball at a young age that they don't get.
And baseball's evolving too, especially at the top, pitch clock, just some role shifts. Do you see any impact on any of that as even the sport as itself sort of goes through a rejuvenation?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you saw what Major League Baseball did in 2023 to somewhat speed up the game, right? And I have two boys, 10 and 7 years old. And I can attest to short attention span, ADD, right? Like, and I think, you know, from my point of view, the pitch clock has been great. What MLB has done to put that out there to speed up the game. I think the fans react to that. I think everybody's loved that. And I think as the, you know, the younger generation, you know, everybody lives off of their phone now, right? It's all about instant gratification. And if a game goes from 3 hours and 10 minutes to 2 hours and 40 minutes, I think the kids like it better. Like I said, I got two boys. I can't keep them still for an hour, right? So, you know, you want to make it more exciting. We live in the YouTube era that you can see clips on YouTube. You can see clips on Instagram and TikTok. So the more stuff that's done there to speed up the game and to also provide more analytics, more visuals for the kids. Ultimately, kids are visual learners today, to me, more than, you know, back in the day, you know, I opened up a book to read, right? Like my kid opens up his iPad, he turns it on and he gets more out of YouTube videos than he's getting out of a book at this point, ultimately. So I think it's just adjusting to how the younger generation is consuming content. And that's what we're doing. I think it's what Major League Baseball is certainly doing. And I think you're seeing the success of it because I think I just saw a stat that more kids, I think MLB, more kids are playing baseball than ever. I think it was the biggest uptick since 2008 or 2009. I don't have it in front of me, but I thought the number was like 16 million plus or something. So that's great for the game of baseball overall.
That is good. And women's sports, another side of your business, and that's growing and garnering a lot of interest as well. I mean, even today, I know this will be, come out a few days after we're talking, but the NWSL, the soccer team, sold for over $110 million, up from a $2 million purchase price. So we're talking 50 extra turn for the gentleman that bought at the start. But anyway, that what are you seeing on the softball side? What are you guys doing to also grow the – obviously, baseball and softball are connected together, especially from the Olympics sports standpoint. You have 2028. Olympics coming up as well. So what's going on your side on softball?
Well, we think softball is the natural, you know, addition to perfect game baseball ultimately, right? Like in theory, I want perfect game fast pitch or perfect game softball out there. And we're already doing girls softball. Our goal in 2024-25 will be to getting even deeper into softball. And there's things that we're working on right now that we believe will help us rapidly expand into the game. We believe that we can bring kind of the organization and platform that we brought to baseball, youth baseball. We feel like we can bring that to youth softball ultimately. So we're very excited about that. You know, whether it's scouting combines, whether it's events and tournaments, but I would like to see every girl playing softball have a perfect game profile, just like the boys do. And we are striving to do that. We're striving to scout them all. And obviously there's professional leagues, but not like there's no MLB in softball, right? But obviously the college softball space, the college softball championship is probably the highest rated thing on ESPN along with the Little League World Series. So it's we're going hard into that ultimately.
From a youth sports perspective, just overall, you know, how young do you guys, like where do your events start age-wise?
So when we came here into Perfect Game, myself and my partner, Rick Thurman, who used to own Beverly Hills Sports Council, the baseball agency. So he's been in baseball his whole life. Perfect Game was really just doing high school, 14 to 18 years old events. So we went down market into more of the 9 to 13 year old space, made some acquisitions, hired some people. We went region by region. So we're really starting at 9 years old. There might be some that start a little bit younger, but we look at it as 9U as the entry point. And a lot of times we'll classify that as either double A or minor ball, right? We don't like the kids getting introduced to baseball. You know, it's got to kind of be a soft introduction, right? And obviously kids are playing ball at 5, 6, 7 years old, whether it's T-ball, but we have competitive tournaments for 9, 10, 11 year old kids, but we also have what you call the double A minor, where maybe it's not as intense ultimately. So that's a big part of our business is getting the kids into the Perfect Game ecosystem at a young age, ultimately. And, you know, make it fun for them. We just did an event in Houston 2 weeks ago. It was called the Houston 1000. We had 1,000 teams there. There was like 12, 13,000 kids plus their parents. It was 9 to 13 years old. It was a fantastic event. We had the drone laser show. We had the DJ. We had kids dancing. We had the batting cage with Dicks there with the soldier tank bat. I mean, we had Yeti there customizing, like, you know, the Yeti cups and coolers with the kid's name on it. So we want to do more festival fun stuff to introduce the game of baseball to it. So it's not just the tournament. So you'll see more of that at the youth level. But, you know, 9 to 18, you know, we feel like we're running the best events there. But we're also running the events that, you know, the kids can come in there and have a little bit more of a relaxed atmosphere with a festival type situation.
Yeah. So as you've grown Perfect Game on the I guess the internal side, I know you mentioned some acquisitions and stuff. From an employee standpoint, how big is Perfect Game just total as itself as well? Because it seems like you guys are getting pretty big in this space.
Yeah, I think when we came on, I think initially it was like 60, 65 people, and we're probably up to 400 full-time people right now with Perfect Game. So we've really been growing the business aggressively. We've really been adding, you know, some great people, whether it's in marketing, whether it's at the event side, whether it's at the management side, the finance side, the youth side. So one of the biggest things to me is I'm proud of all the people that we've brought on, and I'm proud of the people that were here before we got here, because I think we're really creating a culture that the people enjoy being here.
As you look to the future of Perfect Game, you know, what's on the horizon? What are you thinking about? I know you said when you came in, hey, we were thinking about, hey, let's go a little bit younger. Let's go to 9 to 13. All right, let's get a little more into softball. Let's build media. Let's build brands. What else are you working on, or what are you looking toward next to keep this train rolling?
Yeah, well, you know, there's no doubt the media side of things, right? Right. You know, I think the media monetization of what we have, about opening up, you know, sponsors still want to buy 30-second commercials on TV. That's fantastic. That's not the sponsor I'm looking for ultimately. It has to be in-game. It has to be activation. It has to be on social. So I'd say with our audience now and our viewership, media monetization and media strategy is really, really important. I'd say continuing also, we have something called DiamondCast, which is our own scoring app. So Andrew, if you had four at-bats, we now have the scoring app to say you went 4 for 4. But we also have the video attached to it. So you can watch your four at-bats and highlights. So the technology there exists that every kid and parent can see their kids' at-bats. On top of that, we're doing things with a company called Yakker Tech. We're going to be rolling out something called the Yakker Tracker. I'm probably saying that too soon, but it's coming. You can now see the vertical movement on your pitch, the horizontal movement, the heat map, everything, right? As a dad of a kid, if my 10-year-old's pitching, yeah, I want to see that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I want to see his at-bats. So the technological advances we're making is going to make the consumer, the kid and the parent, enjoy what we're doing even more. Our Perfect Game profiles will continue to be enhanced. We've had 1.5 billion views of our Perfect Game profiles over the last 5 years, right? So we want to make that even more robust. But the media side is huge to me. The apparel side, as we continue to grow our PG, these shirts are in Dick's stores now, but now we want to do maybe more limited drops, more cooler stuff, right, that we can do. The hats are fantastic, right? The product stuff, whether it's the drink, whether it's the ball, whether it's the bat, I don't know. Maybe it's a cleat. Maybe it's a sneaker. Maybe it's something else. But we can certainly move product out there. And the technology side, as I said, and internationally, the PG brand should be a worldwide brand, ultimately. And we also think about other sports. PG baseball is great. Could be PG softball. Maybe it's PG volleyball one day. Maybe it's PG football. So I'm not sure where we go on that, but I think the Perfect Game name resonates in any other sport as well.
Overall trends outside of baseball, softball, even your little ecosystem that you're keeping an eye on that may impact just sports in general, that obviously NIL, I'm sure, is one we talked about a little bit, but anything else?
Well, I mean, the NIL, obviously, you know, you touched there. It certainly changed the landscape of college sports, right? So in the past, all the revenue came through to the colleges. Now the sponsors have the right to pay the quarterback directly or the running back directly at, you name the school, Michigan, Ohio State, or whatever. So it's changed the landscape of revenue. You know, at high school at this point, we look at ourselves more. I look at every kid as a potential content creator, right? And there's a difference between content creation and content capture, right? Captures, hey, that kid threw 95, that kid swung. But the content creation now is huge. That trend to capture a 13, 14, 15-year-old athlete, you know, they're not turning on the traditional TV anymore, right? So we have to get to them differently. We need to be more creative. There needs to be more opportunity for user-generated content that I should also be a platform for. If a kid wants to, you know, interview his buddies and stuff, there's probably a home for that on Perfect Game at some point, right? To some degree, it's almost like being the YouTube of baseball. Why not? For youth baseball, that is, right? Obviously, MLB and colleges have their own stuff. But the trends too is It's what MLB did. You know, technology, pitch clocks, robo umps, right? The more detailed analytics that's taken over the game, right? That, you know what a kid is throwing before you face them today, right? You know which kid swings the bat the hardest before you face them today, or which pro does, right? So we're consumed with analytics. I think there'll be more video analytics that come into play over the next couple of years. And I think with technology, the cameras are getting more advanced. Technology is getting more advanced. And, you know, part of me sits back and knowing that we have this ecosystem, people are coming to us to test what they bring to the table. So that whole part of it, analytics and technology will continue to change the game. And, you know, we just want to be right in the middle of that and help.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Rob, appreciate you coming on. Where can everyone else learn more? Websites, socials, anything Perfect Game to consume?
Yeah, listen, everybody can go to perfectgame.org to catch up on us. You can catch Perfect Game USA on Instagram. You can catch it on Twitter, which is now X. You can catch us on TikTok. Obviously, YouTube. Please check out everything Perfect Game. We're kind of all over the place. So just go to your Google search and punch it in, or go to your phone, and it's there.
I love it. Yeah, you're probably spring's right here. I'm sure you're in these last few weeks of, I don't want to call it relaxation, but before the wave hits coming into the spring and summer.
Yeah, it's a 365 day a year job now, because we're playing in December, we're playing in January, and our media content needs to keep pushing out there. The apparel business keeps pushing out there, and it's just exciting. It's a fun place to be, and we try to make it fun for the kids, and we also hopefully make it fun for our staff, who I think really enjoy being here. And they love baseball and love being around the kids in baseball.